please dial star 611 for assistance.
We get signal, main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hacker Spaces. This here little radio program about Hacker Spaces.
Hello and welcome to Hackerspace's Signal. My name is Thomas Loninger, or Social Hack, and tonight you will hear a new episode from Slovakia. We made a travel to Bratislava and visited the Bratislava Hackerspace Progress Bar because they celebrated their first birthday, and we had some political talks about the situation right before the elections in Slovakia, and talked a bit about the net political situation and how things are moving in Europe. And at the end of this episode, you'll also hear a tiny fragment with Overflow, a longtime member of MetaLab, the Viennese hackerspace, and he is telling us about his newest project, which is called HackerspaceShop.com. And that's it for the introduction. I hope you enjoy the show. If you do or don't, please comment on talkingantropology.org or signal.hackerspaces.org, or I don't know if there's a comment possibility on Radio Orange, but there you could also hear this episode. So you could also just send me a mail at tom@socialhack.eu. And yeah, I hope to hear from you. And that's it.
Okay, I'm Andrei, and with my colleague now, we found out this evening that a big financial company is suing us as a hosting provider because of some material stored on our servers that was sharing a bad word about this financial company. It's basically buying our political scene last couple of years. And there's a great scandal. And they are quite desperate because they try to sue platforms like Tumblr and Facebook because of just sharing the data. So it's ridiculous. And yeah, it's going to be quite fun, probably.
Okay, to show them how censorship works, could you tell me the name of the big financial company that's suing?
Yeah, it's called Penta.
Okay.
I think it's not exactly financial group Penta, it's the owner of it. His name is Jaroslav Haščák. Okay,
yeah.
Haščák.
Their network is quite complicated.
And so he, as a person, is suing against material that's against him, or...?
His activities and company, that he is a president of. It seems to me like there's a dog biting all around him when he's in a corner, or he's cornered now, because it's kind of desperate action from his side, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So it just proves that he was involved in all the scandals that he's accused of. So it's like,
what exactly is he accused of?
From buying votes in national parliament in favor of economical profits, or like economical deals in between Penta Group, which is president of, and other subjects.
And what do you think will happen now?
Nothing will happen. I think the time will go on and people will forget about this because they have no other option right now here. So
and probably, I don't know what can be happening in his mind, but because it seems like he's just a big child who thinks he can buy everything, and maybe he can buy some lawsuits over here, but if we move it on a different level, I think there's no chance really to succeed, because you cannot be responsible for what you have on your platform.
What does it mean for you as a provider? Or maybe let's step in for what you said. Don't you believe that the Slovakian law system, the justice system, could work here?
No. Slovak justice system doesn't work at all, because if it worked, already we would have a lot of accused people of corruption and things like that. But now it's just media talk. Even calling hashtag, like the main person in this thing is Foldy, I think, because it's a whole network of people and they are working together, and right now we are powerless against it, I think.
And so this information was shared on the internet. How is the mass media reacting? Was this not in the newspapers and in the television?
It was slow. It was really big on the internet, and the media were afraid of that.
Yeah, even back in the years like 2006 and 2008, when this document was first available to people, investigative journalists, Tom Nicholson, he's Canadian, he's living here, and he tried to offer it to various media, but they were afraid because our lawsuit or our system prosecutes media when they publish some, you know, stuff that they really not, I don't know how to prove it, or they have no
critical
legal background behind it. So it was really difficult. That's why it just popped out.
So you can sue material out of the press. This is working in your country, you say?
It's kind of censorship right now. Because they are, I think they are really naive, because that guy or that company sued like Facebook, Tumblr and Web Support. These are three companies that he sued. He's like, what the fuck, Web Support in their official
statement
told him the next thing he should sue is internet. I mean, you know.
Let's come to that. How do you react as a hosting provider? As far as I understood, you're all involved in this company. What's
no,
it?
No.
Okay, only you.
Well, okay. We together are doing this stream sessions that I told you about.
Okay, so we'll come to that later, but let's stick to your situation as providers. I mean, you now got sued for material that some of your clients has on one of your servers, which you booked.
Exactly.
So what will you do? How will you react?
Maybe we will wait because we haven't seen that material from judges, but maybe on Monday we will see. And often we don't know, because we are really cannot be responsible for our 20,000 clients, you know. It's it's like when you're arguing some chef on a restaurant where guests talking about Mr. Hashtag. <No.
laughs> Okay. You mentioned before that this streaming of music is a problem here, that you...
Officially, yeah.
Yeah. Can you explain the problem? Because I think many people outside of Slovakia are not aware of this problem.
And we have a really nice state organization called SOZA, who is monitoring all this type of streaming of media to the public, and they are taking fees officially for the artists to distribute to them. But for example, they do it for artists that don't even know about SOZA or don't care about this. So it's not the point really. And the second thing is that our legal system does not have any clue about Creative Commons, for example. So it's officially it's a problem to distribute it and play it on parties, for example, etc.
Okay, and so the problem is that you play music and this government organization feels responsible of collecting money from you because you somehow play music, which must be under their license and their understanding.
Yeah, that's
and how do you react on that? Do you then hide out and try not to be public about your streams, or do you do it from undisclosed locations? What are your strategies to deal with this situation?
We kept it rather small until now, and the thing is that we all play like DJs, and when some person comes on behalf of SOZA and he can charge us for the stuff we played, even though it's under Creative Commons, and those people even don't know that they're collecting money on their behalf. Or like I can have both tracks and still be, you know, aware that somewhere in the crowd can be a person that can, you know, judge me somehow. It's horrible. But I don't have such a experience until now. I've been playing 3 years and nothing such happened.
Count on that we are not so interesting for them, but well,
they but you have, know stories from
yeah,
people who
yeah,
were.
They have yeah. the right to do such thing.
Okay. And as far as I understood, you have no portation of the Creative Commons license
no.
for your country.
Yeah.
Do you know if someone is working on that, or do you think
yes.
this would change
yeah.
something?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. They try really hard, but it's difficult with
at
our
least
politicians.
At least 2 times, I think it there was a new law that should pass in government, but not enough people voted for it. And there should be in a... some kind of merging with Creative Commons with current license, but it didn't happen. I mean, people just didn't vote for it, and
it was just recently, I think in November, they voted about this issue, and it was quite close but didn't pass.
How is the general situation when it comes to net political issues? All those things that emerged, that the Pirate Party in Germany is very well known for, that this new field of politics emerges. How do you see your country and your politicians in this question? Is there any development? Are there people who are aware of these new issues?
I think the people who are working on it are mostly from the third or fourth sector, which are aware of the situation, and they're natural environment is internet as we know it until now, and the politicians, they I don't think they read it even or like were concerned about this issue. It's like they voted but they didn't know
like
they're voting against or for
marginal thing. Marginal team, it's something that they just used when they need it, and when they can write it somewhere where can few people read it and vote for them. It's not theme for them, it's just about populism.
And even now, just like 10 days or 8 days before elections, it didn't appear as a theme in the program of any of parties or something. That clearly shows that this issue is not important to them.
But they all voted against ACTA, as far as I remember.
Yes, because they heard somewhere that it's bad. And a couple of weeks after that, they saw the voting for Creative Commons, and they thought, oh, it's something similar. Probably it's bad as well. So I will push no. So it's
okay. That's internet. Say no. Okay. And what are the political forces on your side in Slovakia? Do you have a pirate party? Do you have NGOs that work for these issues? Someone who really does something for it?
NGOs, yes. Not a pirate party yet. We have a Society for Open Information. They are doing quite a lot.
Could you speak the domain?
Domain, it's SOITSK. So SOIT.SK.
Okay, I'll link to that. Good. Any other issues you would like to talk about?
I mean, it concerns me as a person, a regular user of the internet, as a DJ, as a, you know, a person who's trying to do something on their own. And the thing that I cannot publish some stuff without being afraid of being charged of SOLZA, or just this fact that we mentioned that our legal system doesn't know Creative Commons. It's like we're living in the fucking Stone Age.
Yeah, but we have quite a lot of net labels who are releasing through Bandcamp, and they use Creative Commons, and they don't have any problems from that, so probably it's just not an issue to care about here.
Yeah, we are too small for them to be in their scope.
It's like at the same time, you have a lot of people and a lot of net labels that do stuff, do music, and even play music that they don't own, but they don't need to care about it because no one cares about it here. But you want to have somehow recorded laws in the legal system. Like, you can use Creative Commons. Yes, you can, but you don't have any base in legal system here. So it's like really total numbness to the this type of theme or question.
We as a web hosting company, we had a really funny story a couple of years ago when there was a so-called attack on National Security Institute. It's some really old communistic something, some institution. And there was a really funny password that a kid could think about, and they just tried it. And the attack or the... The attempt was done from one of our servers again, and the reaction was that the police came, took the servers, and thousands of customers were offline for just for like one day. So they just absolutely don't know
they
anything.
Took all the servers?
Some, not all.
Okay.
Just some.
Peter, you want to say?
Was this Kyberia, the server?
No, it's called Black Hole. It's similar similar communities. We have people from Black Hole are active in Kyberia, and yeah, it was connected.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people. Peter, we can speak about the issue which led to the foundation of Vibe, which is very similar, I think. This suing of one hosting provider against illegal material on one server, and then the police took all the servers of the whole provider with them, which led to an Austrian and a national-wide internet blackout for one day, or at least 1 hour, back in 99.
This was extremely stressful. But at the end, sorry, at the end, that was the best marketing you could have.
Okay.
Yeah, this was only one part. We had also a discussion about censorship of Usenet groups, and this led also to the formation of Vibe.
Yeah, it's all emerging, but I hope there is something happening in Slovakia, and if not, do you wait or do you hope for some kind of European solution? Do you think that these issues will be sooner realized in the European Union and acted upon? Or is it a national thing for you where you have to change your politicians?
Well, I think you have to start in this level. I mean, to try to pursue this issue through government and through people who can actually do something about it, and specialists and people who can put it down and write what's the state of the internet as we know it right now, and put it somehow in the legal form. And then this has to be solved on the national level. And first, we should press, and we shouldn't forget that they are going to try it again and again and again under various names. So just my message would be stay aware, because we are fighting for internet freedom.
Well, on the contrary, I think much, much more interesting thing is about some kind of nation. Not really, but the large group of people on the internet. I think activizing on internet and getting together is much more important than just on the level of nation, because people still growing together closer and stuff like that. I think European Union, because we are the part of European Union, and we should organize together in European Union against stuff like ECTA and like that.
How many people did you had on the street on these two protests against ACTA in the last month, in February, on 11th and 25th?
Well, it was not many, because it was connected with this madness around this corruption scandal, and there were a series of protests where thousands of people were going out every Friday. It was happening like 3 weeks. It's still happening, probably.
Yeah, it was like Gorilla number 5 against on the square.
It's still happening.
And when there was time for the ACTA process, they just did not seem to care so much, and the weather was really bad and everything, but there were a couple of people, but it was not so interesting for them as the another parade.
And the media cover was kind of dense because there were quite all of major media were covering this scandal and ACTA stuff, but the amount of people were incomparable.
But isn't this then funny that your government still decided against ACTA, although there were other issues, although they are nearing elections, but not many people on the street? So was it also Poland which put this pressure on?
Probably yes. There was a really big pressure from Poland.
But I think the main reason why our government voted against ACTA is because we don't have stable government right now. We don't have something that we can hold on, and it's just because it's still 50-50 about everything. And that's why ACTA didn't pass, because when our government will be stable again, not so stable, but in some way, they will vote for ACTA. I think it will just pass like anything else they give us, you know.
It's kind of without any general discussion, without any public discussion, it cannot now. There's been a lot of pressure because of the scandal and of the closing elections, and people were mobilized like never before, and that's something to build upon, I mean, right now.
Yeah, I hope too, and thank you very much for this interview. Could you please give me again your name or some kind of domain you would like to be known, that people have something to connect
Habitat.
To the voice?
Yeah. It's habitat.fm.
Okay,
that's our collective that we are like doing these streaming sessions and all kinds of other sessions.
Cool. And you are affiliated to the Hackerspace here, to Progress Bar.
We provide them with content when they have actions.
That's nicely said. Nicely put. Okay. And what's the name of your provider again?
It's Web Support.
Web Support.
We're actually active in Austria as well. So websupport.at is working as well.
Okay. We'll link to that.
And Habitat you have mentioned.
Yeah. Yes. We got it. And Peter, you also want to say something? Peter is the guy with from Vienna, from the Middle Lab, with whom I'm here.
No, I just remember that we were contacted by Web Support and we should answer you.
Yeah.
Could I give you the number of my support ticket? Okay.
All the scandals and stuff like that, and it's really hard to take like detached point of view from all this media crap and try to build opinion on your own. And it's quite important before the elections, because many people are quite dazzled, I think, because everybody was in the corruption scene or everybody was stealing and stuff like that. So it's really hard to find an alternative to that.
Yeah.
And
I would like to draw a comparison. I mean, in Austria, we also had a corruption scandal a week ago only. And it also, every political party, all of them, were included. One guy said, okay, and I gave money to this and this and this and this guy and all the parties.
How much money did you have in...
We are a rich country, it was several millions.
Several millions. Because we have also several millions, but we are not a rich country, you know, like...
Really, really fun part about this document. The one only weapon for this guy, Haszczak, who is suing, is that there is no direct... Dôkazy. Not connection.
Proof.
Yeah, no direct proof. But this document is showing really detailed parts of conversations that were happening in one house, and there was another person in the next room was taking notes, and all the notes are down there in the document. It's around 100 pages, for example, and people from these notes, they really said that that happened. So
yeah, and that's finally one person who can say that he saw him attending that flat several times and stuff like that. I've read it today. I want to talk about Dada data-acta.eu.
Okay.
And there was initiative, like, whoever produces or whoever wants to say about or against ACTA should participate, and it was in the first round 52 participants who contributed their tracks or various media inputs to fight ACTA or to you know, say something about it. And there were several, like, it was actually the first moment after several years when Czech and Slovak scene united in fight against this stupid law.
Mm-hmm. It's like this. You can just look.
Uh-huh. Yeah, data.acta...
data-acta.eu.
Okay.
I reposted no, from your website in red and blue picture from data-acta.
Yeah, it's interesting because we decided that we will try to abandon ACTA as a topic, or not really abandon it, but transform the public attention to a discussion about copyright and intellectual property.
Yeah.
Because that's behind all these issues. That's behind IP Red, that's behind TRIPS and ACTA and SOPA and PIPA. It's all about our outdated copyright laws.
Yeah.
And we have to find new solutions how artists can get money for their productions without censoring the internet and taking away our freedoms in the digital sphere. And it's difficult because we have strong lobbies that are opposing all these things, and they counter lobby it with sock puppet initiatives called Art Has Rights, where they try to show nine artists who are poor because of the bad internet, and one of them is making sculptures. You know, it's like she's afraid of free printers, and it's ridiculous. But on the same way, it's showing where we are with the discussion. We are absolutely not on the grounds of realistical terms of what's actually the problem for the consumers, for the producers, for the providers, and maybe also for those who buy the rights to sell stuff, who hold the licenses on intellectual property. But we have to find some new model, and we want to start this on an Austrian level first, but eventually it has to end up in a European solution.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm a bit pessimistic about this topic because I think people will really get some kind of attention only after it will really corner them. Like they wouldn't have any way to move, and they will have to act directly, and it will took like, I don't know, two or three years until people will be cornered and will really begin to act against copyright laws and stuff like that. So.
But I'm pessimistic, really. So.
Yeah, I got that. You are the pessimist. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because in Austria, I have a feeling that it's no longer only the youth generation. We have, in some political parties, we have people we can speak to. We have artists who are avant-garde in their sense, although they are over 60 and earned their money with writing books on paper. Still, they see this problem and speak out against internet censorship. And I was wondering if this is the same picture in Slovakia, if you have a broader range of people who are joining this cause.
Unfortunately, I wouldn't say so. I mean, the older generation here is not so quite up to date, and they lack the, you know, the power to educate themselves in what's really happening around them now. Not in a broader sense. I mean, there has been no broad discussion amongst all the generation of artists. These initiatives were all born in the young sphere. I don't know.
Maybe our politicians will try to ban Bitcoin if they found out about it in 2 years. Not sure.
You cannot understand that.
And she made the website, the Data ACTA.
Ah, you are the person who made the data-acta.eu website. What's your name?
Philip.
Philip. And could you maybe tell us again what this website is about?
I want to know first who you are and what yes. why you're asking about this.
At this point, I told the lady, whose name is Anne, by the way, who I am and what I'm doing here. And then we continue talking.
It's not just about somebody going out or like, just give us our porn because there are pirates and I'm proud of it, but there are, it's the sum of the digital rights.
Yes.
I can do this, I can share this, I can be free about this, but then it's my country. It's, you don't have an authorship law that allows you to share something for free. So, for example, in Slovakia, you cannot give something under Creative Commons because here you have a law above you who says that you are the author and you don't have the right to give the right to your work. So,
but wait, does this mean that when I am an artist and I make a song, for example, I cannot give these rights to one of these Verwertungsgesellschaften, one of these companies which collect the rights and then which go out and want money if you publicly play?
You can do this, you can do this, but you cannot do the part that I don't want to give that right. I want to give it to everybody else but you.
Okay. And I also heard earlier that you have no Creative Commons license ported in Slovakia. So the other boys couldn't tell me if this issue is moving forward, if you have someone who's working on that, because it only takes one lawyer for a few months of his time and you would have a ported version.
Yeah. If we talk on a basis of skills, it's about a lawyer and investing about 10 days or a week or months of his work. But it's about the spirit, is that people, they don't know what it's about giving for free. There was the proposal to the parliament, something like give this stuff for free and so on. There was a person representing us, was one of our biggest copyright guys. And they don't even know what is copyright, they don't even know what is Creative Commons, they don't understand all these terms, and they don't even grasp, as humans, what it means giving something for free, or giving something for free, provided that you can use it for this, or you can use it for that. So we are unfortunately stuck in such a situation that the humans here in Slovakia don't understand what means giving something.
And how do you deal with this situation in a human basis and also in a cultural basis? Do you just have your hideouts where this culture spreads anyway, or
like this one,
like the Progress Bar? is it like that, or is it like an open cyber culture and we have to fight this war?
It's not an open cyber culture. I mean, come on. I say to people about Progress Bar and I say the word hackerspace and the first association is anonymous. Are they going to fuck up my Facebook profile? I mean, explain that. I don't want to talk 2 minutes about this, but how can you explain to people who don't know to use a computer, but they're going to delegate something to an advertising company to be this and that, and they don't know what's happening? And then you come there and tell them, like, this is digital rights, and this is digital rights that I can do this, I can give you that, and this.
So the people don't understand, and therefore it's only a small and closed community.
Yep.
Okay. And are you happy with that, or how do you communicate your space, for example? Do you try to be open and invite new people, or is it something you more try to avoid because it will cause problems?
There was a director of a famous marketing advertising company who said that everything that happens nowadays, it's governed by marketing. So whatever you do, it's like you go out and you imagine saying, like, I hate this, I want to change this. And then you filter it through what people that are going to see from the other side, and they say, like, I hate this means that I'm too weak for doing this. I cannot do this because my generation is behind me. I cannot do this because I have a payment on my house. So then you get to all this stuff, and
what you're trying to say. It's that you're stuck in marketing with reaching out.
Yeah. Is that Slovo people, they learn so many models from outside, and they learn to understand the world of outside through the marketing filters of the Western world. They don't think for themselves. It's like, in 2 weeks we're going to have an election campaign, and they don't know whom to vote, because they are going to follow on Facebook whom to vote. And they're like, today I'm going to vote this company or this group. Tomorrow I'm going to vote this other one, because they look good. And this is our marketing, and they don't think for themselves.
And how could you change that? What would be the right counter measurement? Education? Do the people lack general information about what's actually going on, or are they not aware of their political duties as citizens in a democracy?
I would say that they are lazy bastards. I would say that first they need to learn about it. What I mentioned about authorship law, there was an initiative in the parliament in December. Nobody knew about it. It's the duty of our government to inform us about it. We are going to vote about this and that, and you should know what it means. Nobody knew what it fucking means. There was some writer, the songwriter, and they do this and that. And then when they know what it means, the first thing that they are going to do is going to be like, I know this, but I live in this position, which means I have such a payment on the house, I have such a boyfriend who cares about this, I have such a dog, I go to this park. And it's like, what do you do about all this? I mean, like, I'm going to give free space to all this? No.
I thought of this way of thinking everything from the perspective of my friend, of my job, of my social situation, as a very American thing, as a very US-American thing.
Yeah, because they copied. Because, I mean, like, we copied the model of democracy. Where do you copy it from? UK? There is Margaret Thatcher who says, like, no, we want to do money, we want to feel like this, we want to feel independent, but we don't want to feel independent, all of us, but just the middle class. So it's like, middle class, it's like walls, is it not Indian, not Asian, not black, and this and that. So we're going to copy it from America, it's like overly democratic, and we are going to play with it and tinkle it and I don't know what for 20 years, and then we are going to realize that it's wrong and it doesn't fit us because we are Slovaks or Romanians and so on. It's going to last. I'm angry at it. I want to change it, but it's going to take time.
So what's needed for this change you have in mind? Is it only time, or are there any things that would other things that would be needed that are necessary?
Information. Lots of information. And this means that when a company or a political party wants to spread information, it's not about me, that I'm doing the best stuff or the right stuff, but it's like, this happens, this is my attitude, it might be right or wrong, you decide, but there is the information. Nobody does this. Everybody says that I'm right. So, like, about what I'm right? Because I have a green on the billboard and it means spring and the elections are in spring. I mean, like, nobody's going to give you a fucking clue what is going on. You know, they're just going to say that I'm right. Mm-hmm. I'm right because I'm like the 99%, because I'm like the neglected one. Why you are fucking right? Tell me on what you are based. Let me think about this. Nobody wants to think.
Track me down. just the same old question, and nothing has changed. Tell me, who's to blame? Are you one more strange attraction that I am asking once again? Is it just another singing lullaby to play a game? May I once a kind for you? Would you like to spend three lives with me? Or would you like to join me through my life, 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 my life? Day after day, I am tired, I am lonely, I'm feeling blue. Night after night, I am sleepless because I'm waiting just for you. So is it just the same old question? And nothing has changed. Tell me, who's to blame? Are you one more strange attraction that I am asking it once again? Is it just another single lover to play a game? May I once at a time for you? Would you like to spend three lives with me? Or would you like to join me?
Yes, we are.
Okay, good.
Overflow, tell me something about you.
Hi, yes, I'm Overflow. I come from Austria. I've been active in the hacker community since the early 90s. And recently we started this hackerspace, the MetaLab in Vienna 6 years ago. I've been one of the founding members and also played the chairman for 1 year. And I'm still very active in the Austrian hackerspace movement, and my latest project is called Hackerspace Shop. It's the idea is that you have a community platform, a shopping platform, where people that produce some kind of electronics or robotics or anything else that you could sell as a kit, they can sell it there. I provide the shopping infrastructure and the forums and the whole post thing to send the packages and get them back and all this, so that the hackers can keep hacking and they don't have to worry about this whole tax and sales and customer support and all this. That's my part of the job. And the people just provide the kits or the ideas for the kits, and I help them to make a product out of it that you can put in a bag and ship and people can build it. Mm-hmm.
Do you have some examples of these kits? What can one find there when he goes or she goes to... What's it called? Hackerspaceshop.com.
Yes. At the moment, we just started last week. And at the moment, there is one kit there. It's called the Solar Robo Flower. It's a robotics kit with 5 light sensors. It looks like a flower and it follows light around. You can have a light source and it will turn and bend and try to find the light. And it has different modes of operation. It has a vampire mode where it flees away from light and you can scare it away with a light. And that's one example of what can be there in the future. Also, there will be something like the TV Be Gone and the other kids that are famous and are sold already. Mm-hmm. And
what can one imagine under a kit? What does a kit mean?
A kit is something that you build yourself. You get a little package and that contains all the parts necessary to build the product, and which is the electronics or the robot or anything that you need to build it. And then you have a web page where you see instructions with pictures and videos and step-by-step instructions, how it's done and what it does and how to operate it. And the idea is that you learn how to do this yourself, how the software works, how the hardware works, and that you learn something. You don't buy the product and put it on a desk, but you build it yourself, and afterwards you understand how it works.
Oh, okay, cool. And maybe can you elaborate a bit about this idea of kits, where they come from?
I can remember when I was a kid, there were these kits from I think it was called Cosmos Electronics, and they had like radio transmission senders and all this. So the concept of giving someone a PCB and electronic parts so they build their own thing is quite old. I don't know when the first kit came out, somewhere in the last century. But today we have new possibilities through the internet. You can give feedback, you can share your own firmware source code or your own modifications with the community, and people can modify their own kits and make something new out of it or use it differently. For example, the mind machine from Rich Oldman, what is it called, Trip Glasses, they used a different kit, a POV kit, and he just modified the firmware and attached the speaker to it and LEDs and used the same hardware but different software to make something completely different. And that's what you can do. You can hack the whole thing up and to make it do something different.
Mm-hmm. I think we have to mention Mitch Altman because he is kind of the godfather of this whole do-it-yourself soldering thing, which you can find all over the planet. Wherever Mitch Altman is, there is a soldering workshop and he's always selling his kits. I think he has this trip glasses you mentioned, glasses.
Yes.
The one thing is glasses you wear, which kind of stimulate your brain waves and give you a trip just by emitting light in a certain frequency. And the other thing is the TV Be Gone.
It's a kind of universal remote control with one button that sends the off code for all kinds of TV sets. So you push the button and the TV goes off, which is very practical if you are in some sports bar or anywhere else and you want to have your peace of mind while the football game is running and everyone is... Yeah, you get the picture.
Cool. Okay. Now come back to hackerspaceshop.com. Can you elaborate again? What's the idea behind it? Why did you start this project?
I had the idea with two friends of mine some 2 years ago, and we said, we have this prototype now, and it would be really cool to sell this on the internet. But where should we sell it? There's platforms like Etsy, but they don't really fit the concept. They sell other things. It's not about electronics and the whole hacker space movement. And we said maybe we should make our own platform and contact the people from our from our circles to invest some time there and to share their ideas. And yeah, now, some 2 years later, we have this webshop online and instruction framework where you can easily make your own instructions for kids. And we just started it, so...
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so if someone has an idea for a kit or already has a finished kit, something like, a new idea of what one can build with electronics, then he can contact you through the shop, and what will happen then?
Yeah, the idea is that the shop is a reseller platform. I have a normal company in Austria with tax numbers and all these things you need. And I sell the kits and I help people that never made a kit before to get it out and get it done, because I did this a couple of times now and I know what you need to care for, how to make something user-friendly or as user-friendly as possible. And Yeah, how to do instructions, how where to manufacture PCBs, how this whole process works, how to use what software to use, and yeah, and that's what I help people with. If someone comes to me and says, "Yeah, I have this idea, but I don't know how to go on from here," I've been there, so I can help out. That's what I do.
And do you also have a finance model? So you basically you make the ideas of people in the hacker community kind of market ready, mm-hmm. and help them to sell them over the internet.
Yep.
And so there's money involved. You have kind of a share system that you take a certain percentage of the selling costs?
Exactly. It depends if you already have your own kit and you just want to sell the kit that you have already packed and it's there. And then I just take a little share of the profit to run the store and that's it. Or if you say, I have this idea of a kit, but I don't know how to get there, then we will make the calculations and see how much money we need to invest in this. And in the end, we will. It depends on each kit. Yeah? It's nothing. We don't have a model that fits all the different scenarios because it's different from kit to kit. But what I did with the RoboFlower, for example, is we made a prototype 1 year ago. And from there, it took us about a year to get from the prototype to the product. And I took most of the costs on my own budget. And now, after I sold all the kits, the original inventor is Daniel Mind. He will get a share of the profit once the costs are...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're kind of... what's the economic word for this? Oh fuck! I was bad in economics. Yeah. I don't know, but kind of when you
bad in English.
When you covered your costs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amortization is the word I was using.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And this shop sells worldwide. You ship.
We ship worldwide. To the right now, I'm using the Austrian Post Service. It's quite expensive. Once we have the enough volume, I will switch to some other shipping provider. And also an important part of this is that the shop is not run to be a pro-profit company that makes a lot of profit and grows and gets rich. But the idea is to spread the kits as far as possible and to spread the information and also to get a share of the profit back into hackerspace community. So I can, at the end of the year, if I have a plus and I see that there is enough money left, I will take a share of this and give it to hackerspaces and say buy solar stations for hackerspace or the parts for an entry system or whatever is needed there to support spaces. And this should be something that is... that the people agreed on, that they provided their ideas and kits to the shop. And
why do you do that? What's your motivation behind this business decision?
Mostly because I think that hackerspaces are awesome and they should be spread and we should really multiply and become, there should be a hackerspace in every city. And because I think that education is something that you shouldn't let the state do. It's good that you have this basic education, but I think it's very important that people learn what they want to learn by doing things that they like. And that's what hackerspaces are for, in my opinion. I think that's the place you go to and you learn stuff from interesting people that interest you. And that's how you get good at things.
Cool. Another thing I would like you to elaborate about is that you also have one product which is out of a 3D printer.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's different than the electronic stuff we talked about earlier.
We have different 3D printers at the Meta Lab, and Visa23 designed a box that is called the Amazing Box, and it has a little mace, and it consists of two parts, and you can only open it if you twist it in a special way. And that's something that you don't really have to do something yourself. It's not a real kit in the meaning of that word, but it's a product that comes out of a hackerspace using the technology available there and the ideas of people from hackerspaces. And that's also something that you can order on the webpage, which comes out of a hackerspace and provides money back to the hackerspace. Mm. Yeah.
Because I think there is this site Thingiverse, where you can download designs for 3D printers, but I haven't seen anything where I can just order the finished product and also support a hackerspace with it. So if someone has a cool design for a 3D printing thing, he could also send it to you and use your distribution system more.
There are services for 3D printing that cost a little money and they send you the 3D printed thing. And I don't want to get into this market too much to say I print you whatever you want.
but rather if someone comes and says, hey, I built this at the Hackerspace, I think it's really nice, and maybe we should sell it on the page, it won't hurt to do it. But I'm not going to get into the 3D printing business and print people their stuff. That's too much effort, and I'd rather send these little packages that are already pre-made. And
okay. And now let's talk about Progress Bar, the Slovakian hackerspace where we had the idea for this conversation. We are right now not at Slovakia anymore because we had no time to do this interview over there. But let's talk about the context of this show and this hackerspace. When have you first heard about the idea that there may be something in Bratislava?
I've been there last year at the opening party when they opened. I think it was pretty much one year ago, and they had a birthday party and they invited the MetaLab over the mailing list to come there. So we went there, a group of four people, and I gave a workshop there building the RoboFlowers. I brought some kids and that was really nice. There was some, I think, five people and one guy with his five-year-old daughter was there, and we built RoboFlowers. It was really fun, and. Yeah, the Progress Bar is a small hackerspace in Bratislava. It's very nice, but not as big as the MetaLab, but very interesting people, and they do a lot of stuff, software things that are interesting. And yeah, they had the birthday bash and we were there, right? Mm-hmm. So that's.
In the other interviews, we spoke quite a bit about the general and political situation in Slovakia. Do you have an impression on that?
I have no idea of the political situation in Bratislava or anywhere else in Slovakia. But when we entered the country by car, I saw some huge billboard ads and I said, oh, these guys look boring. They must be the equivalent to the Austrian Socialist Party. And they were, in fact, because I made a photo and showed it to some girl from there. And then I saw the other billboards and they looked like blue and reddish with some scary faces on it, and they had some comics illustrations to it. And my first thought was, this must be the right-wing guys. They look exactly like the FPÖ in Austria. And I was right, too, with this. It was the right-wing party. And I don't know, this one guy told me that they have some culture clash with Hungarians, which I found very interesting because nobody in Austria has a problem with Hungarians, as far as I know. It's not something... You know, Austrians are known to be racist. We have a lot of right-wing activity here, but different from the one in Germany, for example. We don't have skinheads. We have, like... parties in the parliament.
It's not making it better.
Yeah, no, it's not, but it's different. And yeah, they seem to have the same propaganda agency in the back. They make the same kind of billboards. So that was interesting. But they have different stereotypic hate figures that they're afraid of, Hungarians.
Maybe there is a boilerplate where you just to fill your racist target group in here, and we then send you the finished campaign to spread hatred.
Yeah, probably. Just a bit like this.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to say? Any other project or hackerspace you would like to mention?
I'm going to start a tour of hackerspaces real soon to make RoboFlower workshops, mostly in Europe. And I'm really looking forward to meet all these guys and see all the spaces. I've only been to Germany so far and visit some places there. Das Labor in Bochum was very impressive. They have a really, really cool hackerspace. And also the MÜK, the CCC Munich. It's very much worth a visit. They have a lot of blinky stuff and everything is colorful and IPv6 ready. And it's really, really cool. Yeah, but in a few weeks we're going to Brumlab in Prague, and I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, so if you are interested in producing a kit or selling a kit or just have a talk, you can reach me by email, flo@hackerspaceshop.com. Yeah, or check out the website, there is links for that. So
yeah, you'll become the new Mitch Altman.
I don't think so, no.
You have different hair.
Yeah.
Okay, that was an inside joke. Yeah, good. Then Flo, thank you very much for the interview. And I wish you good luck with your business idea. It sounds real fun. And maybe for other people, at the end of this show, you should go to hackerspaces.org, and there is a list of all hackerspaces all over the world, and there are many. So just pop by one of them, and you will learn something. Goodbye.
Ciao. Good night.
Please dial dial *611 for assistance.
We get signal. My screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hackerspace. This here little radio program about Hackerspace.